The sermon you are about to hear is incomplete. Every attempt has been made to locate the missing portion of this message. However, this is the most complete message we can offer. We hope that the message you are about to hear will be a blessing to you.
We trust that this night will be cold outside.
But we won't be cold inside. We pray that the Holy Spirit will just warm our hearts in such a way until we'll know that His presence is so tangible. I believe He's just as tangible tonight as the light is on my hand. Don't you believe that? He's just as real as the light are. Just as real as anything that you can touch with the five senses. The five senses wasn't given to man to contact God with, however. Five senses was given to man to contact his earthly home. We contact God by faith, the sixth sense. These five senses control this body, but the sixth sense is faith. Have you heard this old saying about people from Missouri say, have to show me? And seeing is believing. Have you ever heard that? Seeing is believing. I want to show you just how simple that is. And seeing is believing. Seeing is not believing. I can prove that that's wrong. Now, we have five senses that control the human body. And they're see, taste, feel, smell, hear. That's the five senses. Now, come here, Brother Weed, just a moment. I don't want to use you as an example of something, but make you conspicuous. But now, there's a man standing before me that's tall, and he has a kind of a checked suit on, light. How many believe that's the truth? Let's see your hands. Everywhere. You believe that's the truth? How do you know that he's standing there? I know he's standing there by only one reason, and that is the sense of sight says he's standing there. I see him. But now I do not see him, but yet I know he's standing there. Would anyone care to argue with me and say he's not standing there? Would you try to argue me down? I know he's there. It's impossible for me to see him. But I know he's there because I have a sense of feeling that tells me he's there. And it's the same man because his arms are way up. See, I have to reach. He's a big man. It's the same man. And I know he's there because I can feel him. I cannot see him. So seeing is not believing, is it? I believe he's there, and yet I cannot see him. And I know he's there just as well as I was looking at him because I'm contacting him by the sense of feeling. Now, it's impossible for me to feel him now. He's come out of my reach. My sense of feeling is inactive, but I know he's there because I see him. See what I mean? Thank you, Brother Lee. See, so seeing is not believing. Feeling is believing sometimes. Is that right? Now, we'll meet the chord on there. There's music. How many believes that was music? Let's see your hands. All right. I'll put your hands down. Now, how many seen it? Well, how do you know it was music? I thought seeing was believing. Yet there was music, and you did not see it, yet you believe it. Why? You didn't feel it, did you? You didn't smell it. You didn't taste it. But you heard it. Is that right? And all it has hearing, heard that, has a sense of hearing, heard that sound because it was music, and you know it, so then seeing is not believing, is it? Certainly not. Now, what is faith? Faith is the substance, not just a mythical thought. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. There's none of the senses declare it, yet the sixth sense, which is faith, the outside man is governed by five senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. The inside man is governed by two senses, either faith or unbelief. If you believe it, it's just as real to you as if any of the natural senses of the body declare it. And truly, these senses of the body can be fooled, but faith is absolutely infallible. If you go to the court and you say you saw something happen, an accident, and you were looking through a window, they won't take your word for it. No, sir. Your sight sometimes is a double vision, and you can see things that is not. For instance, you go down the road in a hot summer day or across the field and you look and you see a mirage. It looks just like water. Many times in the desert, people dying will run to these, throw sand up on them thinking they're bathing water. It's an optical illusion. You look and you see the water just as plain as it can be, but it's not water. See? But faith is positive. Look at Peter that night when he was rowing in the boat. And he rowed all night fishing. He had caught nothing. And the next morning, of course, any fisherman knows how discouraging that is to fish all night and catch nothing. So he'd sat down and on the side of the bank and washed the net, him and the other fishermen. And Jesus came by, and he began to speak. And I can hear Peter say, "Let's pick up this stump and go down and sit down and listen. The man's a little different. He talks different from other men. Let's see what about this here Nazarene holy roller." So they go down and sits down by the side of it where he was talking, and I see him move up a little closer, and first thing you know, he borrowed Peter's boat and got in. The crowds began to press on to him, and he got out in the boat and began to teach the people. And after he got through teaching, he told Peter, said, "Now, I want you to launch out into the deep and let down for the drop." Now, Peter was just not an ordinary fellow to fish one or two nights. He knowed all the signs of fishing, just how the moon's supposed to be, just how the waters are. And they'd fished all night long, and it had taken nothing. Now, just think. Here it is. I want you to get it. See, they had fished all night and had taken nothing, and yet Jesus told them to go right straight back where they'd been fishing and drop down the nets and get a whole drop of fish. Now, if they had just fished through that water an hour before, hour after hour, all night long, and had taken not even one fish, how in the world are you going to drop the net down and get a whole bunch of fishes? They're just not running. It just doesn't even look reasonable, sensible. But Peter said, "Listen at him. Here's what it is. Lord, we have seined all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to let down the net." There you are. It's taking God at his word, not what you feel or taste or what this says or that says. It's taking God at his word. "At thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down the net." I don't know how they're going to be there. But if there wasn't any there, and Peter let down the net with faith, believing that God would fulfill his word, faith will put some there. And it did do it. It did do it. Fish was there. And you say, "Well, Brother Branham, I've been to the doctor. He tells me I can't get well." The man, maybe he's honest. I believe he would be. I believe any doctor that would have mercy on people, if the man's done all he knows how to do, all the intelligence God gave him, he's tried to help you, he's done his part, that's all he can do. What do you say? You're going to die. There, you've got cancer, you've got something, and we've operated, and it won't stop it, it's still going on, and there's nothing we can do about it. We can't cut any farther, we'd kill you if you cut any farther, so we can't do nothing about it. But Jesus said, "All things are possible to them that believe." Then if you can accomplish enough faith here to believe that you're going to be healed by God, reason out and tell him you're going to serve him and all you're going to do, and make your promises to God, and there can be enough faith dropped down in your heart that you believe it with all your heart, soul, and mind that you're going to get well, there is enough demons in hell to keep you sick.
At thy word, Lord, I'll let down the net. You might have pulled through every sane, every hole of water, or every doctor's office, and every hospital there is in the country. You might have been here, there, and other places, trying your best to get well, doing all that you know how to do. But yet, you take God at His word. No, if the doctors are God's servants, and they try to do everything they can, they can only do what they have knowledge to do, all that God's given them knowledge to do. But if they've done all they can do and can do nothing else, and look like your time is set, and yet you can pray and tell God that you're going to serve Him, you're going to do something for Him, you're going to help His kingdom, you're going to make the world a better place, you're going to help His church, you're going to help win souls for Him, and give Him a reason, and then say, God, if You'll heal me upon that, I'll serve You all the days of my life. And God drops a little faith down there in that heart and tells you so, no matter what the doctor said, God's word so. At Thy word, Lord, it's finished. Yes, sir. I know that to be the truth. Oh, have faith in God. How that the sovereignty and the mercies of God, how that He'll come to us and we poor, wormless people, little old people sitting here on the world like a bunch of jellyfish, and yet we try to take our intelligence and tell God what to do. When He measured, standing not long ago out at Mount Palmer in California, looked through a big glass there, and I could see 120 million years of light space. Break that down into miles and see how many miles you run a row of nines around Owensboro to try to break it down in miles. Of how many billions and billions and billions of miles, and beyond there is moons and stars and worlds and planets, just all endless. And God made them every one. And how can we bottle ourselves down as a little bitty old mind like ourselves to try to say, well, God might have said it, but I just can't believe it's so. Oh, my. I just take Him at His word and say it's so and believe it and make my confession, stand on God's word, and that settles it. A few years ago, when Mayo Brothers, one of the best clinics in the nation, been interviewed there twice since then, said to me, it's impossible, Reverend Branham, for you to ever get well. I said, God, if You'll let me get well, I'll serve You with all my heart. And something anchored down there to make it. Here's what Mayo said. I know what God said. And tonight I'm in better health than I ever was in all my life. I never did weigh up to that time over 128. I nearly weigh 160 tonight. It just goes to show that, now the man was honest. I'm not discrediting Mayo Brothers Clinic. No, sir. Them men were honest, and they were good men, and they did everything they knowed how to do. But that's all they know. It's just the end of their knowledge. But faith has no end. Amen. Oh, I love that. I tell you, that takes the wishbone out, puts the backbone in there. That's right. It makes you stand. When you know that God is for you, and He's promised it, and He said He'd do it, and He's good to His word. If that word's no good, then there is no God. If I can't trust that, if I can't hang my soul on every phase of that Bible, then it's no good at all. I don't want nothing to do with it. If I didn't believe it, I'd be against God tonight. I'd say there is no such a thing. But I believe every word of it is true, and every divine promise is a seed that'll produce just exactly what it said it would do, if you'll take the right mental attitude towards it. Remember this. The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Try it. No, try it. Just go do it. If you've got enough behind you to push you and say, I can do it, by God's grace I will do it, then God's with you. But if you're just a wishy-washy, well, I'll go up and see if they can do anything for me. No. Here not long ago, there's a man come to my place. He said, Brother Branham, said, I went over to, I believe, the Brother Cole's meeting. Said, he couldn't do me no good. And said, I went to Brother Jagger's meeting. Said, he couldn't do me no good. I went to Brother Robert's meeting. He couldn't do me no good. Said, I come to see if you could help me. I said, you're going away the same way. I said, you're going to the wrong man. I said, you're going to man, go to God. Who can help you? I said, these men are all right. Brother Cole, Brother Roberts, and Jaggers, and them brothers, they're fine men. And they're godly men. But there, man, go to Christ. He's the one who did it. Brother Jaggers never died for you. By Brother Jagger's stripes you wasn't healed, or Brother Robert, by Christ's stripes you were healed. They're just man to point you to that as ministers. I said, that's all I could do, but point you to, and any true divine gift of God will always recognize the cross is the finished works of God right there forever, redemption, redemptive blessing. There's where he was wounded for our transgressions. There's where he was abused for our iniquities. There's where the chastisement of our peace is upon him. There's as where the stripes healed us. I can say this on the authority of God's word, that every man and woman in this building tonight is already healed in the sight of God. By his stripes we were. Were is past tense. Is that right, brethren? We were healed. When? 1900 years ago. Every sinner in the world was forgiven of every sin they ever did 1900 years ago. Is that right? He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Is that right? Then everybody was forgiven back under 1900 years ago, but it'll never do you any good until you accept it as your personal Savior. Then when you accept it, Jesus doesn't come and die again for someone. See? He just died once. We accept our salvation, that what he has finished works at Calvary. Then now, by his stripes, we were healed. He doesn't come down and heal us each time. And it takes your own individual faith. I've heard people talk about gifts of faith, gifts of healing. Sure, the Bible speaks of gifts of healing. But what is this gift of healing? A power has been given to a man to heal another? No, sir. There's not one man could heal another. Never. And all the medicine we got in the world never did heal anybody. Never will heal anybody. I know you're disagreeing with me, many of you, on that. But I want to ask you something. Let's look this way just for a minute and be reverent. For instance, what if I cut my hand tonight? There isn't enough medicine in the world to heal that cut in my hand. Any medicine that heal that knife cut in my hand would heal a knife cut in my coat, would heal a knife cut on this table. Well, you say, Brother Branham, medicine wasn't made for your coat or for the table. It was made for your body. Well, what if I cut my hand tonight and I would fall down dead? And they'd embalm my body with a fluid and make me look natural for 50 years. And let them come every day and give me a penicillin shot. Sew that up. Give me penicillin, keep infections out, which is all right. In 50 years from the day, that cut will be just exactly like it was the day it was made there. Well, you say, certainly, Brother Branham. That's right. Well, why don't it heal? Why don't penicillin heal it? Why don't the salve and methylate and everything else you're putting, why don't it heal it? There's not a salve, there's not a penicillin, there's not nothing in the world that will build tissue. You say, the life's gone out of your body. That's right. Well then, if the medicine is the healer, the medicine would heal regardless. If it's the healer, it won't take the life. But life is the healer, and if you'll tell me what life is, I'll tell you who God is. For God is life. It's life that does the healing. Now you don't want to discard the medicine. The medicine keeps it clean. While God does the healing. If I broke my arm and would die, and they'd come set my arm, just keep putting splints on it, and they lay it there, and 40 years from now, that arm would be broke just exactly like it was when it was broke. If the life's gone out of my body. But the doctor sets the bones in places, but God does the healing. Life. Amen. I'm not amen in myself. If you won't say it, I will. I believe. I'm just an old-fashioned, I'm just an old-fashioned backwoods preacher that believes in old-time, heartfelt, sky-blue, sin-killing religion. That's right. That believes the old-fashioned way. And I believe that man, when he's born of God, he becomes a son of God. The supernatural power of God dwells in him. We have a supernatural God. We have a supernatural life. I believe that any man is born of the supernatural spirit believes in the supernatural.
We got a supernatural resurrection. We got a supernatural heaven. We'll have a supernatural rapture. I'll be the whole thing built up around supernatural. And if a man is born of the Spirit of God and he believes in the supernatural, he can't help it because he's the Son of God. And that's the reason tonight we got so many old, cold, formal, indifferent, God-forsaken, backslidden churches, because men and women are not born of the Spirit of God. They have no taste of God. They don't know nothing about God, and all they know is theology. And that's the reason you can't get them to believe a thing. That's exactly right. You got to get the man right in his heart first before he can believe. He ain't got nothing to believe on. He ain't got nothing to believe with. I'm sure the little infant brain of a man knows nothing about belief. He's got to have something in there that stimulates his faith and makes him look yonder to his Creator and believe the very God that blows the moon and stars off of his hands can do all things. This world was made by faith. God spoke the world into existence. This very world that we're sitting on right tonight is nothing else but the Word of God materialized. If it didn't, where did he get the material to make it out of? He said, let there be, and there was. And every word of God has got to be so. He's God, and he has to keep his word. And you take any divine promise in your heart and say, that's my personal property. It belongs to me. I am a believer. And accept it on that basis, and watch what it'll do. It'll make cancers move. It'll make blind eyes come open. It'll make cripples walk. It'll make death hear. I know what I'm talking about. Where I put it to a test and to an experience now for years and years around the whole world. And the whole world knows about it. But the trouble of it is that men and women are born in this world, some born to be condemned. And you preach the gospel, it's just like pouring water on a duck's back. Runs right off and has no effect at all. Right. The men and women who can grasp the promise of God and say, it's my personal property. Every man that's born to the Spirit of God is given a checkbook by Jesus Christ with his name signed on it, every check. If you're afraid to fill it out, that's your bad luck. That's right. Brother, anything Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. Whatsoever things you believe. If I need healing, I just write it out the check and put it in the deposit and say, I'm sending it to Calvary. That is what it was paid for. That is what it was deposited. Hallelujah. The first thing you know, the blessings will be flowing back and the sickness will be gone. I'll be well and rejoicing again. Amen. You know what Owen Burney's down here is a good old-fashioned, God-sent Holy Ghost revival. Before you have, that's exactly. And then you have a healing meeting. Exactly right. If I tell you if this world, America, isn't in one of the most polluted shapes that I've ever seen in my life, if there's any place in the world that this world needs missionaries, it's the United States of America. An educated heathen far worse to fool with than an uneducated. What do you think about that, Dr. Bosworth? He's unlearned. He'll stand here, look at the miracles of God, and he'll say, well, Dr. So-and-so said that was theology. That was mental telepathy. Well, I believe it's the devil. Set there, puffed up like that. No wonder condemnation, no wonder judgment hangs over this nation is because be called by the name of a Christian nation and rejected the very principles of Christianity. Exactly right. Billy Graham, not long ago, having a meeting, went into a certain city and said they had 30,000 converts. They were chased down 30 days and couldn't find 30 converts. The trouble of it is you're asking people to stand up and accept Christ as five personal testimonies, stand up like that, and that's all they know about it, worked up under a little mental enthusiasm, and the next thing you know, it's gone. The only way that man will ever stay is for him to lay down there and die out to self and be reborn again by the Spirit of God and filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he's no more his own. God took him over and got full control and moving in him. Then he can't be nothing else, for God has made a new creature out of him. That's what's the matter today. We teach in theology and little old baby petty things. They keep referring back to what Moody said and what A.B. Simpson said. They were good men, but they've lived their day. 150 years ago, the greatest science in the world was a French scientist said if a man ever made the terrific speed of 20 miles an hour, gravitation would take him off the earth. How nonsense. Science has got him going 900 miles an hour now in a jet plane or something like that and still taking him farther. He never refers back to them. Moody had a message of his day. Simpson had of his day. Calvin and all the rest of them had it in their day, but this was another day. They were going in an ox cart. We're a jet plane moving on. Brother, I tell you, the untapped resources of God hang here before us where all things are possible. It's a shame that man keeps looking back this way instead of looking up that way. Jesus said in St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, where a sower went forth and sowed the seeds, and someone come behind him, an enemy, and sowed weeds. And the husbandman said, shall I pull them up? He said, let them both grow together. At that day, I'll make the decision. The angels will come and take out the wheat and so forth. Burn the tares with fire. Now, we're always talking about how wicked the world is. That's true. How women smoking cigarettes and man and drinking and water and slop and beer and stuff the way we're doing today and sin on every hand. Churches and ministers and all smoking, drinking, gambling, running to parties and picture shows, dances, hell dives, and everything else. We all talk about how wicked that is. You're always looking at that. That's the weed. But let me tell you something, brother. You forget to know that the church is growing at the same time. They're both coming together. The power of the Holy Ghost is coming in, killing out sin, making new creatures in Christ Jesus, bringing forth signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. Yes, you think I'm a noisy Baptist, but I'm one Baptist who got the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. I believe, brother. I believe what we need is an old-fashioned, God-sent stirring. That's right. We'll never get anywhere till we do it. I'm thinking here, Brother Bowers, we're sitting here there in South Africa with nearly 100,000 people gathered out there, and they've seen one miraculous turning of God, and 30,000 was ready to accept Jesus Christ. And one prayer, thousands raised to their feet on crippled beds and everything, on beds where they'd be crippled in cots and stretchers and clubs and piled them up in the carload. One prayer, they'd seen God Jehovah moving in His power, that settled it.